Good evening, everyone. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee special meeting devoted to fundraising for Wednesday, July 6, 2016. I'm the Chair, Brian Edwards-Tiekert, and I'd like to ask our Secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay. Sam Agarwal.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Present.
Adriana Kasanov.
Present.
Joseph Davis.
Present.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert?
Here.
R. Paul Martin, here. Tony Norman?
Present.
Michael Novick?
Present.
Serene Roberts? Eileen Rosen? Barbara Whipperman? Okay, we have eight. That is a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I sent out a proposed agenda last night.
Hello, Eileen here.
Hi, Eileen. I'll go over it quickly for the benefit of those people who are listening only. It's a roll call, which we've done, agenda review and approval. Then in the fundraising section, the first item is propagating best practices for Fund Drive. The second is engaging LSB members in fundraising activities. The third is National Fundraising Initiatives that has three subsections, direct mail campaigns, the affiliate's underwriting proposal, and securing reinstated CPB funding. And then there's 20 minutes for miscellaneous and other fundraising proposals. That's just what I cobbled together and gleaned from our email traffic, certainly open to amendment. If folks want to add things, though, I hope we do it quickly so we can get to discussion. I'll propose the agenda. Does anyone wish to add things to it or make other changes?
Brian, I noticed that the total time is 120 minutes or 2 hours, and the ending time is at 7 o'clock. Shouldn't that be 7:30? Hello?
I am sorry. I'm furiously doing my own math. I get 90 minutes total.
No, it's 2 hours. 15 is 30, plus the 30 after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. That's 60, plus 20 for miscellaneous and 10 for the business up front.
Okay. You have the separate parts. I did count those. Okay, an hour and a half.
Yeah, I see. That's confusing how I laid that out.
Okay. All right.
I did definitely mistime the end time, because it should be 9 o'clock Central and 10 Eastern.
So we should put that in as 10 Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Item 3A, proposing best practices for Fund Drives. Is that on air Fund Drives or other?
Propagating.
Propagating. Okay. Is that for on air Fund Drives or all or off air Fund Drives?
I was thinking on air Fund Drives, but I don't know. That any other type of fund drive would be out of the realm of reasonable discussion?
If the idea is on air, maybe we should put that in there one way or another. We should do it, because otherwise we're gonna shift from on air to off air, from off air to on air.
It's just part of it.
So maybe put on air in there.
You're proposing to add the words on air in front of fund drives?
Well, if that's the intention, yeah. I just want to know, you know, what did you have in mind?
Yes, that was my intention.
Okay, so then
I don't know about your station. All of our on-air fund drives have off-air components.
Okay, I will make the... all right, so maybe we should just leave it as is then.
Okay.
We'll hash it out.
Okay. Again, we're just on amendments to the agenda. Barbara?
I just was saying I'm on the call.
Okay. Anyone else wish to propose a change to the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda? Hearing no objection, the agenda is now approved, and we are on to the very item we were just discussing, which is propagating best practices for fund drives. So this is an item I put on, and I don't know if we have all the people we need on the call to answer the questions, but I guess my big question is how much information sharing is happening between the radio stations regarding fundraising techniques that work well, premiums that work well, programming that works well during fund drives, billing techniques that work well after the fund drives, and so forth. And maybe this is best put to you, Sam. Are the stations helping each other maximize what they can raise?
Well, at this time, I don't know if anything is happening because I have not seen any tangible evidence. The only information that I have received is when I ask for an update about how the fund drives were concluded. That is the only information that I receive. So I don't know between these stations if there's any cross-sharing. The only some of the statements that I've heard is that during the leadership call, if something may have worked, which they may wanted to share, but I don't think anything is officially being shared at this time.
This is Eileen. Can I make a comment?
Sure. I'll take a stack. I've got Eileen. Who else?
Barbara with a question.
Barbara? Was
Michael.
That Tony?
Yes.
That's a question.
And Michael?
Got Tony and then Michael. Okay, I've got Eileen, Barbara, Tony, and then Michael. Go ahead, Eileen.
Yeah, I wanted to say this is why I was suggesting that I wanted to invite our general manager and our fundraising person to take part in this call because they are much more involved in the activities and grants for fundraising than I am, and they know a lot more about it and could provide a lot more information and get a lot more out of what the agenda looks like. It's going to be.
Eileen, I don't know if there's anything you can do to improve your situation, but it's almost impossible to make out what you're saying.
Okay, it's because I'm on the bus. I will be better in a few minutes. I'll try it again later.
Okay. Barbara, you're up.
I just wanted to clarify something Sam said. When you talk about the leadership calls, are you speaking of the general manager calls?
Yeah, that is right. That happens everywhere.
That maybe general managers
right.
have the opportunity to share with each other.
Right, and because the program directors are also the call,
uh-huh.
so they get an opportunity to discuss what could be working or what could be coming their way and how could they make a best use of the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. What I, but to skip to something else, what I heard Eileen saying, Brian, was her question about having her GM and her fundraising person on this call.
Yeah. Tony, you're next.
I was just going to underline the fact that I think that's a good subject, and if it's not being brought up specifically at the leadership, that's where you have the general managers, executive director, and the program directors. They should have a specific meeting dealing with that, and I think that's really where they need to engage and deal with that to share ideas because it's definitely needed. Things that are working, they should share with other stations. So I would strongly encourage that the leadership calls or the general managers do that. I have a special agenda to deal with that issue.
Michael?
Yeah, I was going to raise a related issue, which is the ongoing problem of coordination of fund drives between stations that share programming. It's been an ongoing problem here because sometimes we start first, sometimes you start first at KPFA. Either way, it sort of lengthens the fund drive beyond what we really have scheduled because people are continuing to hear pitching on the Pacific Evening News and on shows that we carry that come from you. And I think it's also been a problem from what I've heard on stations that carry some of our programs like Ian Masters or Margaret Prescott in other cities, and I'm wondering if we could suggest to the that question be taken up along with the question of best practices, how to deal with that problem.
Barbara.
Okay.
Barbara, comment on what Michael just said.
Right. I'm going to open up the stack, and Barbara, you're going to be at the bottom because you've already spoken once. Anyone else?
Our Paul.
Okay, go ahead. Oh.
Sorry.
I've got our Paul, then Barbara. Go ahead, our Paul.
Yeah. Yes, I think the general manager's leadership meeting should take this up. I think they should have taken it up ahead of time. They're being paid to do this. I am going to be very surprised and bothered if they've never done this before, and I'll be glad to hear that, oh, yes, they've been doing it all along. If they've been doing it all along, that would also be interesting. The other thing is, again, the air is the primary means of raising any kind of money, and I think we, again, need to look at the listenability of the air, both in terms of the content and, you know, maybe training for people on the air, and also in terms of technical issues, because if you're listening to a radio station and you have a 120 hertz hum coming along with the people talking, makes it hard to listen and it drives listeners away. So quality of air sound, which is a technical thing, is an issue too. So I really think that these things, both content and quality of air, are the primary things that need to be looked at, and I would indeed hope that the general managers are looking at this. That's all.
Barbara?
I'm going to the stack, if you can hear me better now.
I can. We'll put you below Barbara. Go ahead, Barbara.
I just wanted to comment on Michael's suggestion that, oh, God, what was it now? Well, the point was that this is something, oh, I know, the coordinating of fund drives that actually has been discussed. I find in my sixth year of these meetings, it is true. We often come up with the same suggestions, and I think this one is a very difficult thing to tackle, and it does not take into account local things that are happening in local areas that make it different, that cause this, what you might say, disjointed overlapping of fund drives. I think there would be a lot of problems if we tried to have a national schedule for fund driving, and I don't think that's a good solution. Although, when we sit here in a meeting like this and just think about things intellectually, we think, well, let's do that. And that would fix everything. And there are other suggestions that come up. I was just horrified to see, although I appreciate Joseph's notes and all his suggestions that he's come up with, I was horrified when I saw his note about we should have one bank account. I think, oh, my God, this is a discussion we've had before.
Barbara, way off topic.
Local, I know, but the topic is how many can't we have new ideas? And I know some other people have been on this committee as long as I have. And let's try to avoid these things that are, we've said before, were not possible to do or not a good idea.
And the topic is sharing best practices for fund drives. Eileen is next. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't hear much of what Barbara said because I managed to disconnect myself for a minute there. But just to get back to what I was saying, and even more with people's comments, it seems like we think the GMs may have broached these topics in their leadership meetings, but we don't know. So our conversation seems a little, I don't know, futile to me if we don't really know what's going on if that information sharing has or hasn't taken place. So, you know, we can sort of grasp at straws, but we don't really know what's going on, it sounds like. I'm done.
Anyone else to stack?
Michael Beck.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah,
a couple of things. I agree that the question of best practices during the fund drives really relates to the quality of the programming and finding programming and associated premiums, if they're using premiums, that correspond to the programming, both have an appeal to the listening audience and expand the listening audience. The big problem for us at KPFK, as we had to have more and more days of fund drives, is that we lose listeners with our fund drives, and very often it takes a while to get them back. So I think that finding ways to shorten the fund drives and to make them more effective and efficient by increasing the quality of the program or track listeners that are willing to support the on-air guys is important. On the question of coordination, I wasn't suggesting that we make our fund drives simultaneous. I was suggesting that the solution for dealing with what happens when they're not that might involve alternate programming instead of what's carried on one station from the other during those times, so that the listeners aren't subjected to a fund drive that's, you know, half again as long as either station is scheduled it to be.
Sam on the stack.
Okay, stack's back open. I've got Sam. Who else? Go ahead, Sam. I'll put myself after Sam.
Yeah. To kind of respond to Eileen's point, I will say that the results, they kind of point by themselves that some stations are not doing well. And what could be the reasons why some stations are doing okay or reasonably well, but some stations are consistently falling behind? And I don't want to point fingers, but basically that goes into the whole the way that the fund drives are conducted, managed, organized, everything. So let's look at the results. If that cross-sharing, say, was happening, then perhaps we would have seen something different.
Okay, I'm going to propose the skeleton of a motion in this regard, and you all can propose changes as you see fit. Or, Paul, I'll send this out in writing so you don't have to scriven while I talk. My proposal is as follows. The National Finance Committee recommends that Pacifica's IED convene conference calls between station staff directly involved with organizing fund drives to identify and spread high-performing premiums and specials, best practices for pitching during fund drives, billing after fund drives, and fulfilling premiums after payment. These should be separate from the weekly leadership calls and focused exclusively on fund drives. I just sent that out. And my thinking with having it be separate from the leadership calls, this may be different at other stations, but our general manager here does not take the lead on planning our fund drives. It's really our program director and our subscriptions director, the person who's responsible for what's on the air and the person who's responsible for organizing the phone room. And I think probably if fund drives are supposed to be tackled in the same weekly leadership calls that are tackling whatever the crisis of the week is, fund drives will always take a back seat. So they should be discussed on a separate track. In any case, that's what I'm proposing we recommend.
So did you move it? Are you waiting for our Paul to get it to move it?
I moved it.
Second.
There's no second in committee.
Oh.
I'll take a stack for discussion or amendments.
I would like to just make a positive comment. I think it's sounded a well-described idea.
Anyone else?
I'm still reading it. I guess our Paul.
Go ahead, our Paul.
Again. Geez, they have to wait for a committee to tell them to do this? I mean, all right. I can agree with the motion. It looks like something that should have been happening all the time. All right. There you go. I can agree with this motion, but I don't. But I'm going to be feeling not good about it if this motion has to be the thing that gets them to do it.
Anyone else? We are at time on this item. Is there any objection to this motion? Hearing no objection, the motion has now passed. We are on to the next item, which is engaging local station board members in fundraising activities. And this is something your treasurers probably have had more of a front seat toward. Does anyone have any success stories about getting their local board involved with fundraising?
Tony.
Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, our local station board has been very much involved with fundraising for the last few years. I mean, we do an annual event, two events now, that raise at least $10,000 apiece. We do our U Street Jam, and we have what's known as the Blues Festival. So this is going on our third Blues Festival in August, and the U Street Jam is going on for almost 4 or 5 years, and we raise at least $10,000 and climbing. So we've been engaged in this for a number of years, and these are success stories. So we're continuing and trying to expand upon them.
How do you raise that money? Is it through sponsorships, or do you charge at the door?
No, we do tickets. We sell tickets, individual tickets, and charge at the door. And they are major popular events. And most of the people that attend these events are our membership, really. That's the one place that most of our members kind of really get together. So the money comes in through ticket sales.
And when you say $10,000, is that net or is that gross before expenses?
That's net. Last year we cleared $10,000 in the Blues Festival as well as the U Street Jam. And sometime the U Street Jam we can clear up to $15,000. Last year we cleared $10,000. And the year before that, but it averages about $10,000 after expenses.
So, what exactly is the role of the local station board in organizing those events?
We primarily sell the tickets. We organize the event. We get together the publicity of it. We do most of the legwork on it. Of course, we're helped by staff, but we. The local station board, primarily with one of our members, Gloria Turner, we do the actual, all of the legwork on it. We actually organize the event itself. Same with the Blues Festival. So the board, we work the door, we work the, we sit at the door, we take the tickets. It's an event that actually the board does.
Do you engage the musicians?
Yes, we engage. They volunteer. Most of them, all of them are volunteer. Actually, that's the reason the space is volunteered, and the artist. We don't pay the artist, nor do we pay for the space.
Okay. Anybody else got a success story to share?
A couple of minor ones. LA.
All right, Michael.
A couple of years ago, the local station board did an International Women's Day event that raised maybe $1,000 for the station. And off that, we kind of spun off a Mother's Day for Peace card, which raised a few hundred, unfortunately, only. More recently, the Spanish language program is here took the lead, but a number of local station board members helped out with a major event in the Oaxacan community that raised about $8,000 here for the station.
Michael, your voice is a little bit muddy. Is there anything you can do to improve your sound quality?
I was saying that a number of local board members helped out with an event early run by the Spanish language programmers with the Oaxacan community here in Los Angeles that raised about $8,000 for the station. We have set up a fundraising committee, but it's been very hard to get the entire board behind the idea of...
Hello?
Yes, am I audible?
You are.
It's hard. I don't know what all the beeping is. It's been hard to get the entire board behind the idea of really seeking out sustainers off air that would help even out some of the cash flow issues by getting a more substantial number of sustainers who are committed to donating regularly each month and without premiums. So I can't say we've had much success with that yet.
Paul, go ahead.
Our Paul, for a question, I don't have a great success story. I'm not going to tell a story about the AI, but I am going to ask a fast question here, or maybe point something out. For WPFW, your two big off-air events, the two big off-air events are music-related, and WPFW is primarily music-oriented. So I think that what you have is something more homogenous than some of the other stations do. You have something that people would ordinarily pay to go see. And since you're always promoting music on the air, it all flows together. I think for most of the other stations, there isn't necessarily as high a density of programs that feature something that people would ordinarily pay to go see even if the radio station weren't there. So I think that WPFW has something of an advantage in that, and I think it's more of a challenge for the other stations to try and do this. And also, I think the on-air fundraising, we have to keep in mind that the on-air fundraising is going to always be the biggest thing there is. Because while it's great that you can raise $20,000 a year off air, $20,000 a year in a multi-million dollar budget is nice, but when you're missing six figures, $20,000 isn't going to keep you afloat. So I think we need to keep in mind the magnitude of the problem and the magnitude of what needs to be raised to fill in the shortfalls, and keep the figures in mind. That's all.
Other success stories from local station boards.
Tony, just a response to there's no one else.
Sure, go ahead, Tony.
No, I was not just a response to R. Martin. Obviously, it's not going to fill in our deficit, and we didn't expect that to take on our whole budget. But I was highlighting that as one of the things we are doing right, and we've been doing that a number of years. It's not anything new. So there is some positive thing. So it's a regular income that we've been receiving, and it's not just a fluke. We've been doing it for at least 2 or 3 years now. No, it's not going to plug in our deficit, but it is something.
Barbara?
Yeah, Michael.
So I heard Barbara, and I heard Michael, and I'm going to throw myself on stack before either of you. I haven't spoken yet on this thread. I mean, the only thing I'm aware of that our local station board has done with any regularity at KPFA, and it has been of some use, and I think is easily reproducible at every station, is at least once a year we pass the hat at an LSB meeting before a fund drive, and we put up a challenge fund. So we pass out pledge cards, and we ask board members to collectively pledge towards a challenge that will be used on air as a matching fund. We offer it on a program that we're not factionalized around, like Democracy Now, and usually get a couple thousand dollars out of the board. And we put that money on the air and say the board is collectively willing to match a couple thousand dollars. We tend to see a stronger response from the listeners, and I think it projects a healthy message of unity, of purpose from the station. Barbara, you're next.
Well, I was going to remind us of that as well, but I'll skip to another point, which is, one thing I want to say about the idea that WPFW is known as a jazz station, I don't think that prevents the other stations from having successful music events, because we have all kinds of programming, but music things do make, you know, big sums of income sometimes. The Grateful Dead program that airs does have quite a following, and they contribute a lot during fund drives. And I think people do like music, and it does have a different kind of spirit. KPFA also has a lot of speaker events of it's mostly people writing books that fit our way of thinking, uncovering scandals and government and so on, and even some literary people that are well liked. The events are well attended. And the last thing I want to say right now is I did email some data about the success with mailings, and I don't know if you're going to deal with that separately, but I sent something this past calendar year. Maria had prepared for us about the costs and so on for the return of mailing appeals.
Awesome.
And I emailed it this afternoon, pretty much right before the meeting.
Okay. I didn't see any email from you, Barbara. You might want to double check your email.
Shit.
I've got Michael next, then our Paul. I have Michael next, and then our Paul, and we've got 3 minutes left on this item. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, very quickly, I want to mention one of a smaller success. A couple of the board members here discovered that we were both bringing people to town to speak from our own political activity, and it turned to be the same weekend last year, which was Nelson Dennis, the Puerto Rican author, and Lynn Stewart. And so we ended up coordinating various activities, but one of them was a fundraiser for the station at no cost to the station at all, because we had already brought them and raised, I think, about $3,000. I wanted to follow up on what Barbara said, because we have raised in the fundraising committee here, and I think there was at least some preliminary discussion between Leslie Radford and Quincy about this, trying to coordinate better between KPFA and KPFK, because you have a lot more experience and success with those book tour events, but the potential of getting bigger name authors, if we could coordinate a West Coast tour and do events in Santa Barbara, L.A., and San Diego, where we are, combined with what you're doing up north. And so I do think that is something we should definitely pursue, is coordinating between the two stations and seeing if we can, have speakers that draw even larger crowds than the one station alone can manage, if we, you know, share the dates in such a way that it becomes a more attractive offer to a publisher or an author to do it that way.
Okay, 2 minutes left. I heard our Paul next.
Okay, I have a question. I guess it's mostly for the directors on the call. A couple of years ago, the NFC passed a motion that was about these various off-air fundraisers, that before you could have one, the general manager had to produce a sheet that showed the projected expenses, the projected gross, and the projected net of the event. After the event, the general manager or designee was supposed to put out the actual expenses, gross, and net of every one of the events, so that, one, people could get a handle on what the event might be, because obviously if you have an event and you're projecting you're not going to make any money at it, you need to rethink that, and two, to see what was successful, what sort of projections worked, and, you know, how you might do better. And That was something that was recommended to the PNB, and I'd like to ask, did the PNB ever pass that motion?
If it did, it precedes my time on the PNB. I don't know who's on here that's been on longer than I have.
I think that's before my time, but I know that we did, for the events I mentioned, produce such reports. There were very few expenses involved. We got the space donated, and it, you know, it's probably a certain expenses of staff time, but it was insignificant.
Adriana?
Tony?
Well, we are at time on the item, which is engaging LSB members in fundraising activities. If you want to keep discussing this, we'll need a motion to extend. Hearing no motion to extend, our next item is national fundraising initiatives, which I've broken up into 10 minutes each, one for direct mail campaigns, two for the affiliate's underwriting proposal, and three for securing reinstated CPB funding. So I think here we might be best off starting with Sam. Unless I'm mistaken, going through the national office financial statements, there's been no direct mail income at all this fiscal year. Is that right? There have been no mail campaigns?
Yeah, that is right. I know for a fact that the mailing list was purchased by the IED a few months back, but we have not received any money. So I'm not sure what the status is. That could be one possibility, that the same mailing list could be utilized. And if the mail is sent out, perhaps we can get some money.
Michael, to the stack.
Are there any plans underway for doing a mailing? Know of them?
I don't know for sure. Because I look at the expense reports, so I can say the purchase was made a few months back for the mailing the mailing list.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take a stack. I heard Michael. Who else?
Barbara.
Yes.
Hold on. I got Michael, then Barbara. Who else?
Tony.
Michael, then Barbara, then Tony. Go ahead, Michael.
So that was the purpose of my motion, which I believe we did pass through the committee last time, that we things we would try to get local station board members and boards to do is seek people who make no-interest loans to the foundation for the purpose of carrying out the national office mailings. But my understanding from the IED is that they do have lists and ready to go directed at not necessarily specifically members. These were lists from other sources, but focused around different signal areas, and the mailing would be oriented towards donating to the stations as well as the national office. But there's no funding for the mailing, so that was the idea of trying to get some no-interest loans to carry out those mailings, with the idea that the mailings would then pay off the loans as well as have some additional income. So I think that that's kind of waiting for implementation, if we can get some of the board, the national or local board members, to come up with some people who might make those loans. I think they're ready to go on the mailings. I know that he was checking into nonprofit mailing rates, and there was some hang-up about where the mailing had to take place from, because it depends on what's on the articles of incorporation as to our address of record for Pacifica, what post office the mailing has to be carried out from to get the nonprofit rates.
Okay. Barbara's next.
I just wanted to say I did email that thing from my home email to the National Finance Committee, and apparently they didn't like it. They won't take my email. I'm not authorized. So I just sent it to your personal email, Brian.
Got it. I'm sending it to the committee right now.
Thank you.
Okay. Tony's next.
No, I just think that that's if we're going to do direct mailings, or we need to establish that as a priority in terms of we essentially, I don't know if we have it listed on today's agenda, but as part of a major fundraiser, we got to pay for the 2014 audit. And I think the direct mailing or a national fundraiser, something immediate to do that, these are something we, this is something we have to do and establish as a priority more than anything else in the short term. Whether it's through a direct mailing or just to set aside a day for a national fundraising for it. But that's something I think is essential that we do to cover that.
Okay. Yeah, it was as part of the national office budget to do a holiday mailing at least. And in election years, we've, in the past, Pacific has done more and done well with national direct mail campaigns. It tends to be a time when people are appreciating the value of alternative media. I don't know what we can do about finding the upfront money to pay for it, but they typically recover the costs within a couple of months. The numbers that Barbara forwarded are helpful. No, they're not. They're not the type of figure.
KPFA, by the way.
I understand that, and it's KPFA mailing to its members, not doing an acquisition mailing to a rented list. But you know, the returns there are 100-300% of what was invested.
Well, if it's a few thousand dollars only, then I think that that should not stop in mailing because that's so critical. So the national office definitely will kind of take a hard look in postponing some expenditures and taking care of this because we have to pay some bills. So this is a kind of an urgent for us.
That would be great, Sam. Anyone else?
I have a question.
Okay.
What, as far as loans go, what amount would be useful, Sam, when, you know, to start this kind of thing? Do you have a notion?
Well, loan is a little bit of a tricky because we have to find a person who is willing to give the loan. I am thinking about outright expenditure, like say, because postage does not cost that much, and mm-hmm. if it is for non-profit, I would not assume that, say, maybe more than a couple of thousand dollars, if I'm mistaken, unless until I'm mistaken.
A couple thousand would cover postage, is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying. Unless until we have to kind of design the mail itself, like the mailing letter and mm-hmm. and whatnot, but the postage itself should not be a barrier. That's what I'm trying to say. And we definitely can figure out some way to pay for that. If we have to do that, then we definitely will need some expertise, like say we can borrow from KPFA, who can design a letter or something. But again, I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs. My only point is about the underlying expenditure. I think that should not be a limiting factor.
Okay, we've got 2 minutes left on this item. Anyone else on direct mail campaigns, national direct mail campaigns? I've got our Paul. Who else? Go ahead, our Paul.
Yeah. Yes. We have plenty of records on what the direct mail has cost in the past. I know that the national office some years ago was sending them out, and I remember one. Here's a caveat. I remember one that lost $29,000. I don't know how they manage that, but there was one mailing I remember about 10 years ago. That actually lost money, but it's not only like a couple thousand dollars. You can do something like that if you want to chop it up and say, you know, how much do we want to spend on this and do like several thousand and then you spend $2,000 on that and then use that to seed the next set and, you know, chop your mailing up instead of one big massive mailing, chop it up into X number of pieces and use one to fund the next, to fund the next, and the first two or three are just funding the mailings, but by the time you get to maybe 8 or 10, you're actually making good revenue on top of that. So that is something to try out. Also, if you send something out and it bombs badly and you only spend $2,000 on it, that's better than spending $50,000 on something that bombs, because then you can rewrite your proposal and try it again, and maybe it'll work better. So those figures are absolutely available, so we can tell what they cost, and I think we should break them up.
Okay, we're at time on direct mail campaigns and on to the affiliates underwriting proposal. I thought if we were discussing fundraising, this should come to the committee, because I don't think we ever discussed it at length before. This was advanced by the affiliates coordinator, Ursula Rudenberg, and John Profit, who at the time was our executive director, roughly this time last year. And the National Board kind of punted on it, and it never came back to the National Board. I saw that Sam sent out something just a little while ago. Sam, is it any different from what was attached to the agenda?
No. I just wanted to kind of illustrate the point that the efforts were made by Ursula, and she talked to me, but like you said, that's because it did not go anywhere, so she was not sure how to proceed with that. So I think that this is a good time that we revisit this thing, and if we can move it forward, because she's pretty much excited that this can generate some revenue for the affiliate program.
So just to be clear, this was not a proposal to put underwriting in any of the stations we own, but to set up an underwriting cooperative amongst affiliate stations that take underwriting so that collectively they can go after larger underwriters that would not want to deal with them on a one-on-one basis. In other words, national nonprofits or companies. And the details are in her proposal. So, you know, we could make any number of proposals on this, including that the PNB ask for a revised plan. I'll take a stack.
Tony.
I've got Tony. Who else? All right, go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, actually, in fact, the PNB did send back for the affiliate director to work on that, to ask for a revised plan. So we've already voted on that. Because the present proposal, even though I'm conceptually not against what they're trying to do, but the details are very seriously, I think, work to the negative of the foundation. If you really go into the details and the nitty-gritty of what the exact proposal was, that's why I had a lot of reservations about it. So I think they need to substantially rework that deal. Because it puts Pacifica itself, the foundation, in a very weak position, and it benefits really a lot of the affiliates and the affiliate program, but there are some negative detrimental effects to the foundation with the plan as written. Because, you know, everybody get excited about underwriting, and there may be some potential there, but some of this, unless the underwriting is a proper proposal, we won't get much money out of underwriting. You know, if you're going to go in the business of doing the underwriting, then you need to be serious about it, and it should be a proposal that can bring revenue in for the network. That proposal is a very seriously flawed proposal. In fact, I think our past CFO had reservations about it also. So conceptually, I would agree with it, but that we sent it back to be reworked, and I think there's some serious flaws in the present proposal.
And Indiana?
Barbara with a question.
Okay, I'll take a stack. I heard Barbara. I heard Adriana. Who else? What's your question, Barbara?
Of Tony, can you say something about how it was detrimental to the foundation?
Well, I'll give you one example, and I'm not going to go to the details.
Right.
First, the affiliate director herself got more money out of the underwriting than the actual foundation itself. That's another serious flaw in that proposal, where the affiliate director get a larger percentage of the underwriting than the foundation itself. That's just one of the problems with that proposal.
Adriana.
Yes. First of all, went back to management to come up with an alternative proposal to support the affiliate was not involving the underwriter. I agree with Tony. That report was done, and it's like always in Pacifica, it's a spinning situation. We came back with an old thing that we are discussing since 2014. The PMB used Tony and some of the lawyers that all of them come up with the weakness of this underwriting program. But it's worse than that. We have now the report in front of us from the CFO that we are talking about. We are not talking about the stations. We are talking about the affiliates. But I can see in the report under point one, B said several demands have been made by underwriters. Are we having underwriters or not? Because I know that we said that we do not, but we know that we do have underwriters. Then we can keep, you know, spinning this and lying openly to our listeners. We permanently campaign and fundraise saying we don't have underwriters and we rely on you, the listeners, to support Pacifica and our station. On the other hand, we all know that underwriters are going on with no authorization at all from the stakeholders of this foundation that are the listeners.
Okay, 4 minutes left on this. Anyone else to stack on the affiliate's underwriting proposal?
Arpal.
Serene, who else?
Well, I would like to ask Adriana a question, but if it's okay.
Barb, you're going to have to wait until you're on the stack. Arpal, I'm going to bump Serene up over you since it's her first time on stack for the evening. Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, thanks. So the PMB had a discussion on June 25th and referred the matter back to Ursula and John Proffitt, Ursula Rudenberg, the affiliates director, and John Proffitt, who was then the ED. And nothing has been forthcoming since. You said that we could certainly have the discussion. I think, what was your opening statement, Brian? Anyway, something to the effect that we can have a discussion about whether it goes to the PNB. I think the homework that was requested needs to be done before it's sent back to the PNB. Now, I mean, some of the people have changed, but the issues haven't changed.
Serene, do you have a copy of that motion handy that you can send out, what the PNB actually passed?
I do not. Janet had sent it out in PDF. I guess I can dig around, but I'm on a different computer, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. All right. Arpal, you're next.
Okay. My question to Adriana is, it sounded like you said we do have underwriters and who are not the listeners. Who are these underwriters?
Should I answer, Brian?
Yes, it's a question to you, Adriana.
Yes. Okay. We know that we have underwriters because it's what manager said, no in writing. We all know because when we listen to some of the stations, we know that the only reason of that mentions are underwriters. But on the other hand, we keep lying, saying that we don't. That we all know that, right? I asked before, and I'm asking every time that I can to managers to come up with how, when, who authorized it, how is that being done?
So his question was who are the underwriters? So you're just saying there are underwriters. You don't know who they are.
They are, and you can see here that even the CFO in his report is saying that several demands have been made, but underwriters. He wrote it there. He's the CFO.
No, those are insurance underwriters. Well, totally different meaning. Same word, different meaning in that context.
Can we ask the CFO if he knows that
Sam, Pacifica Foundation can you please confirm that you're referring to insurance underwriters?
In my CFO report, I have no mention about the affiliate underwriting, so it is the underwriter of the insurance company.
Okay, thanks, Sam.
What's the question? Does the CFO know that the Pacifica Foundation some stations have underwriters?
I think Adriana, you had the floor to answer a question, not to ask them. I had Barbara, and we're almost at time. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, that was my question that our Paul just asked, and I think it is true. It's confusing, this use of the word underwriter. Maybe, Adriana, it isn't clear to you that there is a big difference when you're talking about insurance policies. And having underwriters, it's not the same as underwriting the production of radio programs. It doesn't. They are not the same at all.
This is me.
Point of. I'm sorry. I need to answer that. The point of privilege.
No. You don't need to answer that. We're at time on the item.
Sorry.
Unless someone has a motion to extend.
This is Serene to extend for 3 minutes.
Okay, the motion is to extend for 3 minutes. Does anyone object to extending this item for 3 minutes? Hearing none, we're extended for 3 minutes. I heard Serene on Stack Next. Go ahead, Serene.
And my point of personal privilege?
What is your point of personal privilege, Adriana?
That I later talk about this phrase, about underwriting and insurance, but I said from the beginning, and all of us discussed this before. Can you, any of these people present here, Barbara, Brian, or any of you, deny that your station have underwriters? Because I know that my station does.
Yes, we have no underwriters on KPFA, and asking a rhetorical question to other people in the meeting is not a point of privilege. Serene, you're next.
Okay, so I know that KPFT did a test of an underwriting program.
Who did?
KPFT. Mm-hmm. We never did get the details. We've asked repeatedly. I think we went through the programming committee trying to ask George Ryder, who I think had talked about it. And I do not know over what period of time, or that it has necessarily been discontinued. So I think that's what Adriana might have been referring to. I think she knows enough about business to know the difference between an insurance underwriter and a program underwriter.
I would think so, but I didn't know.
Barbara,
sorry.
Don't speak up unless I call on you.
Yeah, good.
Okay, anyone else to stack? Okay, if we've exhausted the stack, then we are done with the item. We're on to our next next item, which is securing reinstated CPB funding. And this is possibly the lowest hanging fruit and the biggest return on investment in terms of the money we could bring in. As far as I know, the biggest hurdle toward our securing reinstated CPB funding is getting our audits done about 12 months faster than we are. So, Sam, is there any discussion happening at the national level about what it would take to get to forge a path towards reinstated CPB funding?
Well, you said it right, because the critical thing that is missing is the audits, both for 2014 audit and 2015. And I'm afraid that by the time that we all get this thing done, probably 2016 audit will also be kind of becoming closer to happening. So that is the most critical element at this time. And with we are almost getting done with 2014, except that we have not been able to make the payment for the audit fee. But for 2015, we are still completing the books, and there are a lot of deficiencies. And then only the audit can commence. So given this scenario, I see significant hurdles before we can consider this to be a possible option for funds.
Sam, is the hurdle principally our accounting capacity, or is it principally that we can't pay the auditors? Which is the bottleneck?
That's a very good question. It's both. The paying capacity plus our accounting capacity and the the people skills, the speed with which we can produce the documents and can do the work that is required. And at the same time, we have to keep the 2016 books current. So there's a significant bottleneck there. And I have sent in my CFO report, I have sent it to the PNB directors the workload and the priorities that we have. So it's a combination that is kind of creating a huge roadblock. Because we are already in the backlog for 2014 and 2015, how do we catch up? In real world, the catching up is so difficult that it kind of becomes, I would not say impossible, but extremely difficult. You have to have additional workforce and additional resources devoted to this project to get it expedited in the time and in the manner that it is needed. And unfortunately, that is not happening. So that is the biggest constraint.
Take a stack on this.
Tony.
I heard Tony and Adriana. Who else? Okay, go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, once again, I can't emphasize how very important that this is. We need to make this a major short-term importance priority to get the 14, 15, and even including 16 audit underway and the money out of the way. Whatever we have to do to get either national fundraiser or direct mailing and make that a priority. We got to get the 2014 audit. Not just for CPB, but also for other things that we need to do. I mean, if we're serious about getting short-term loans or doing other things, we can't do that without the audit. If we're talking about renegotiating the lease agreement in New York, we can't do that without the 2014 or even 2015 audit. So that is a major priority in the short term that we need to do, and we need to do whatever is necessary to do that. And when we meet tomorrow and even a special meeting, I'm going to also emphasize that that is a top priority that I cannot say enough that we need to do. Now, in terms of the getting the record straight, I don't know why we can't proceed to go ahead and getting that all together, to gather all of the data and information we need so that when we get to the 2015, we have everything in order. I'm still confused over what is necessary to do that. So while we're waiting to get the money, we definitely need to get our files, our staff, or everything in order so that when we can get to the 2015, we can just get it out of the way. So I don't know what the hang-up is in coordinating that and getting that. You're saying if it's extra staff or extra people, obviously we have limited resources. So whatever recommendations you have to make efficient the staff that we have in all the stations to get the paperwork done, we need to get started on getting ready for 2015 and getting it out of the way.
I think that question's to you, Sam. What are the hurdles to getting the 2015 books ready to go?
Yeah, we are already working on that. I have reported earlier that 2015 completion of books is a top of priority, but so many other things are also coming in the way. Right now, our biggest priority is completing Form 990. The income tax return that we have to file. The second thing is that the business manager has not been hired at KPFK. Again, I can go into a lot of details about this. We have just now transitioned the accounting from for BAI and for PFW to the national office, and we are kind of straightening their books. So there are significant practical hurdles that are coming in the way in doing the job. So limitation of resources is definitely a big thing. And I will say this very discreetly, that I had to change my team to be equipped and to be skilled to do this complex work. That is also one of the key components. So there are a lot of factors that are going in doing this job. this 2015 is a top priority, and people are working extra hours to make sure that, say, those things are taken care of. But again, I mean, there's so much that people can handle. Everybody can handle.
Adriana?
Yes. I have two questions for one for Sam.
Point of personal privilege.
What's your point of personal privilege, Doreen?
I can't hear her.
I can hear her.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. I cannot hear her.
Okay. Well, hopefully you'll be able to hear her. Go ahead, Adriana.
First of all, how could it be that we have, in some stations, we have money that was being kept from May 31st, 2016, to pay salaries in June and July, when those stations own money to the national office? How could it be that they are not, it's not an option to make them pay, because then we will solve the problem with the paying the audit. We have more than enough money to do that. And the second one is, can anybody tell me what the impact have Oakland PSA in KPFA is, if it's not an underwriter? Thank you.
Is this a question for me, or I am not clear?
The money is not being taken from the station that have the money. You said in open meeting that money wasn't there. Well, I can prove that this is not true. The money in May 31st, 2016 was there, more than enough money to pay for the audit. And the second, obviously, is to Barbara and Brian.
Okay, so let me respond to the first question. I would like to see some documentation if you are saying that there was a surplus money, because the question is about the surplus money. And what I mean is that if the station has already cut some checks and is already holding some bills to pay, and then if it is not enough to pay those bills, but still, if it is sitting in the bank account, then I will not call it a surplus money. And I think that is the difference that you and I are having on this issue. But if you would like to give me some information that I am mistaken, then I definitely would look at that.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about with Impact Hub Oakland, Adriana. It's a venue. They don't give us money. As far as I know.
The PSA is not an underwriter.
No, a public service announcement's not underwriting. We put those on for free.
Okay. But may I finish the question to Sam? Sam, what I said is what all the directors in this foundation received from a general manager, saying that he will not pay what is being owed to the national office because he's keeping money to pay salaries in June and July. You have that email like I do, and like all the other directors here have.
I am not very clear about what you're saying, that the stations are keeping money so that they can pay for June or July. I have not heard that kind of a comment. I have definitely heard that, and this is a regular practice, that stations do keep at least one payroll. Sometimes they do two payrolls, but that has not been happening. One payroll is definitely a common practice to keep in reserve so that, say, they don't miss the payroll. But apart from that, I'm not seeing that, say, any surplus money is lying anywhere. Again, if I'm mistaken, then please do let me know what I'm missing. But this is not my estimate.
Don't you have access to the accounts?
Okay, we are at time on this item. We are into the section of the agenda that is miscellaneous and other fundraising proposals, for which we have 20 minutes allotted. And I just put this on the agenda so we'd have a place to capture anything that didn't come up under the other headers. I'll open a stack, even if you just want to propose an idea for us to follow up on at future meetings. Speak now or hold your peace.
Ben.
I heard Joseph.
Eileen.
Eileen. Sam. I believe I heard Sam as well. Who else?
Michael.
Michael. Who else? Okay. Go ahead, Joseph.
Quickly, I just wanted to touch on that. Whoever's been talking about the audits and the priority of that, I absolutely agree. We have to get these audits as soon as possible. I mean, if we had to cut payroll and 10% in the sense of we got to lay people off. We got to get our books in order. So I think that's very, very important. I don't know what the solution to it is, but please, for God's sakes, we got to push that. The one miscellaneous item I just wanted to bring up for when it comes to fundraising is we've got to do something about increasing our listenership. Everybody has shot down my idea about advertising or whatever. Fine. What are the ideas out there that anybody has to increase our listenership, which is our base income? Thank you.
Eileen.
I just wanted to mention one idea that was brought up by Jerry, the GM at WPFW. He was thinking, what about Pacifica as a sort of clearinghouse or database of ethical companies that could serve as underwriters for Pacifica or the stations? That could... that way Pacifica could be involved in vetting them, so to speak, and we might be able to get some financing in. And the database itself might have some value.
Sam.
Yeah, so I've heard from everybody, and I agree completely that paying 2014 audit is the top of priority. So what I would like to suggest that the immediate way would be crowdsource funding. If somehow that account can be set up quickly and it can be advertised through different stations, and if we can set a goal, say maybe 50,000, we can get the money. I hope that we can get the money quickly and we can pay this bill. So that would be my suggestion.
Michael.
Well, to Joseph's point about trying to increase listeners, I think that we need to incorporate a lot more of the ethos of social media. I mean, Sam just talked about crowdfunding. You have to be engaged with people that can help you make a crowdfunding project go viral. And we need to increase our capacity to do that by also incorporating in our broadcast activities more of that ethos of many to many. I think that would involve more call-in shows, more audio letters to the editor. There are ways to do it that are have good production value and don't just get cranks on the air. But I think we need to have ways that people can tweet in questions or post questions to a website or a Facebook account or something that increases the sense of immediacy and engagement with our listeners. I think that would do a lot to increase our audience and bring us the attention of people who are much more engaged with social media these days, or they're listening, even if they're listening to radio, they're doing a platform that's not just a radio, but is a multimedia, communication device. I think the other thing is that priority, we talked about two or three priorities and they interlock. I don't know if you can really do a fundraiser mailing asking for the money to pay for your audit. It's just almost self-contradictory. I do think that the finding in the arbitration here had to do with the fact that the foundation had no accurate financial records to present to the staff, essentially. So I just think it's critical, and I do think that in terms of the priority list that Samson dealt with in the CFO report, that item 3 is completional books verify 14, and whatever money is available throughout the foundation currently, I think. I agree that has to be a priority on spending it on that purpose.
Adriana?
Or Paul?
I heard Adriana. I heard our Paul. And I want to ask everyone, I make several requests for names for stacks. You have several opportunities to put your name on the stack. Kindly do not say your name before the person before you is done speaking. Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes. First of all, I believe that sometimes talking about not having the money when the money is in the foundation, and I'm talking about more than $250,000 in one account, and the May 31st, 2016 balance of one account, and talking about that station owing more than we owe to the audit, the auditors, to the national office. But I think that is a good excuse that we can use, because the reality is easier to say that the money is not there instead of saying that after all this time, the audit, the information, the data for the audit is not totally complete. And somebody, Barbara, you talk about me not being the
Adriana, it's out of line to attack people's motives or speculate about their motives during discussion.
I mean, I'm sorry, Brian, but how do you know that I'm attacking?
I'm sorry. You just argued that someone's motive for making a statement was other than what they said it is. You're on these committees to speak to the merits of proposals or the arguments against them. You can do that without impugning people's motives.
And you told me before, I hope that the National Finance Committee Chair knows the difference between what the PSA, that in KPFA, the PSAs are required to be by non-profit, and the company that I mentioned isn't a non-profit. I hope that you, Brian, and Barbara, know the difference between one and the other. Thank you.
Paul, you're next.
Okay. A couple of things. By the way, I am informed by email that the motion I talked about before, where you have to have basically your financial ducks in a row before and after an off-air fundraiser, the PNB passed that in 2012, I am told. Going on. We passed a motion more recently, back in April. The motion that the NFC passed was, the NFC recommends that the PNB direct all general managers to provide a report by July 5th, 2016, on all attempts at advertising over the past 5 years, including types, costs, and any known results. Did that get passed by the PNB, and did any reports show up as of yesterday?
No, it hasn't been taken up by the PNB yet.
I think it's obsolete then. It has a deadline of July 5th and it hasn't gotten in there.
I was quoted.
I'm sorry, Joseph, do you know you're not muted?
Here's the point. I hope that's not me. Yes, it is.
Anyway, okay, well, I think that answers the research on the advertising particular question. I will again, however, for a final point, mention that there are legal problems if we don't get the audits done, but there are also more immediate legal problems if we don't make payroll. So it isn't a thing of we have to put payroll second. Legally, payroll has to be first. Otherwise, you get hit real hard.
Okay. I want to ask a clarifying question. Several people talked about crowdsourcing. I take it what you mean is fund drives over online platforms rather than the airwaves. Like Sam, Michael, when you say crowdsourcing, are you talking about Indiegogo and GoFundMe and so forth?
Maybe that's the reason I say we have to embrace the spirit of social media is that, for example, when Sonali Kolhatka was trying to do a crowdsourcing for the equipment to make her show audiovisual, it ended up being something that was pitched over the air constantly to tell people to go to the Indiegogo to make the donation. That is not effective use of crowdsourcing. You have to be able to catch people engaged in social media to spread the word virally through their social media accounts so that it's not happening on the air. That's not effective crowdsourcing.
Yeah, that is right. So that is not effective crowdsourcing, but through the social media, I think we can advertise. What happened with the KPFA when we did for the antenna, we could get the money quickly. I think it was 20,000 or so. So this is something that very similar that we can set up, and whatever money we can come in, and because it is not limited, we can put the word out through different stations. So I think this can generate some buzz and some money. I hope so.
Well, good luck with the fundraising appeal that says pay for our audit. Anyone else to stack?
Barbara.
I've got Barbara. Who else? Okay, go ahead, Barbara.
Well, this is, I just wanted to report that our general manager has been making very poignant little pleas on the air, and he's put up something on the website speaking specifically to our current financial difficulties. And I don't know how many other general managers do this locally, but I think it probably does help. It's not putting out a mailing, but in fact it's reaching the people who visit our website and listen to the radio. And I think it's a good idea. I don't know if other people can encourage general managers to do it if that's not their thing. But I just wanted to point out, if anybody wants to see Quincy McCoy's latest thing on KPFA homepage, he's got A Collective Vision. It's his title of his little few paragraphs.
Anyone else to stack? Okay. Well, that takes us basically to our adjournment time. I want to thank everybody for a productive meeting. Our next meeting will be back to our regular schedule, I believe. Yes, 2 weeks hence. On Tuesday the 19th. At that meeting, we're going to need to be discussing what the central services formula will be for the upcoming budget year. Sam, I know you guys are completely swamped, but it would be incredibly helpful to have even a rough draft of what the national budgets might be like on the expense size in the year to come.
I don't know how to say that, but looks awfully difficult because that was the main reason why I had sent out to the PNB the workload and the priorities, and it's brutal. I mean, I have no other word to say. You have to come and see how people are working on the weekends.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one path to resolve that would be to allocate more resources, which is what we do through the budgeting process. So we need to know what a realistic staff size for the amount of work we have to do and the amount of catching up we have to do is for the year to come.
It is a difficult situation. When we get into the backlog, it's very difficult to get out. It takes it's a mountain to move. I mean, so to speak. So we are working our best, so I don't want to kind of say shy away from my responsibility, and I will try my best to come up with some estimates. I am just not able to make any assurance at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you, and thank you to all of you for your time. Talk to you in 2 weeks. Good night, everyone. The meeting is now adjourned.
Thanks for chairing.